ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, entitled The Deliverance of the Yamalarjuna Trees. We'll be seeing two texts today, text 39 and 40. We'll chant text 39, but we'll discuss text 40. Shri Shuka Uvacha Itham Sankirtitastabhyam भगवान गोकुलेश्वरः दामना चोलुकले बद्धा प्रसन्नाः गुह्यकौ। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन शुकदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड। The two young demigods thus offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Sri Krishna, the Supreme Godhead, is the master of all and was certainly Gokuleshwar, the master of Gokul, he was bound to the wooden mortar by the ropes of the gopis. And therefore, smiling wisely, he spoke to the sons of Kuvera the following words. Krishna was smiling, purport. Krishna was smiling because he was thinking to himself, these two young demigods fell from the higher planetary system to this planet, and I have delivered them from the bondage of standing for a long time as trees. But as for me, I am bound by the ropes of the gopis and am subject to their chastisements. In other words, Krishna submits to being chastised and bound by the gopis because of pure love and affection, worthy of being praised by a devotee in so many ways. Text 40. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha ज्ञातं मम पुरैवैतद् ऋषिणा करुणात्मना यत् श्रीमदान्धयोर्वाग्भिर्विभ्रंशोऽनुग्रहकृता। द सुप्रीम पर्सनलिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड सेड द ग्रेट सेंट नारद मुनि इज वेरी मर्सीफुल बाय हिज कर्ट्स ही शोड द ग्रेटेस्ट फेवर टू बोथ ऑफ यू हु वर मैड आफ्टर मटेरियल ऑपुलेंस एंड हु हैड थस बिकम ब्लाइंड। ऑल्दो यू फेल फ्रॉम द हायर प्लैनेट स्वर्गलोक एंड बिकेम ट्रीज, you were most favored by him. I knew of all these incidents from the very beginning. Purport. It is now confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the curse of a devotee is also to be regarded as mercy. As Krishna, God, is all good, a Vaishnava is also all good. Whatever he does is good for everyone. This is explained in the following verse. And there is a famous word, sadhunam samachittanam, which follows this verse. This is the final auspicious ending of this Leela. It is called Yamal Arjuna Uddhar, the deliverance of the true Yamal Arjuna trees. Text 39, this one on the board, describes Shukdev Goswami narrating how Krishna is Gokuleshwara. And Prabhupada explains in the purport why he is called Gokuleshwara. In reality, he is Maheshwara. He is the Lord of every place, every object. Everything belongs to him. Ishwara means a controller. Krishna says, Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara, I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Again the word Maheshwara comes. So three things accompany being a controller: enjoyer and the controller. Krishna not only controls. In our experience, we can have one owner, somebody else controlling,
and somebody else may enjoy. And that, of course, is much more a reality in today's times. I had read an old story how there were two neighbors, and one had a tamarind tree which was growing in such a way it was leaning toward the house. So he thought, if I tell him, please cut it, otherwise one or many of his branches may fall on my house and may damage my house. Then he thought to himself, but he would say, why would I do it? Why should I do something for your benefit? So one day he just collected so many tamarind pods, made some pickle out of it. The neighbor saying that last 5 months or so, we have had so many of these tamarind pods in our courtyard that my wife has made some pickle and I'd like to share it with you. So he said, but how did you get it? It is my tree. He says, well, there are 3-4 big branches. They are leaning towards my courtyard. And they just shower that courtyard with so many tamarind pods. The next day he cut it down. It is my object and somebody else is the beneficiary. How can I tolerate it? So one aspect of material life is, even if it is like there is a saying, even if it is your bodily waste, but if it helps someone, you would rather throw it somewhere else rather than have somebody benefit from it. But the Shastras explain very clearly that unless you have all three together, you are the proprietor, you are the controller, and you are also the enjoyer. These three have to be there. Only then you can be properly called a Parameshwar or a Maheshwar. This verse actually shows Krishna's own predicament. Krishna is amusingly making a remark that, look at me, these two demigods are praying that, my Lord, you are always liberated, the modes don't affect you, you are everywhere, you are the enjoyer. I have actually liberated them, but I am still bound. Just imagine, when Krishna was being offered the prayers by these two demigods, the sons of Kuvera, he is still bound by the ropes. No one has come there. Certainly Mother Yashoda didn't come there. She said, at least now I have some relief from his mischief. At least for a whole evening, there will be some peace. So the Acharyas give Krishna's point of view that I am still bound by the ropes of the gopis and I am still subject to their chastisements. The next verse is a quotation from the Supreme Lord himself, where he says that the great saint Narad Muni is very merciful. Now suddenly we might think, how Narad Muni comes in the picture? Krishna is just a small boy. He was just playing with monkeys. He's angry with his mother. He's playing mischief. But this shows the omniscient. Omniscient means one who knows everything. So Krishna is saying here, the great saint Narad Muni is very merciful. By his curse, he showed the greatest favor to both of you who were mad after material opulence and who had thus become blind. So Krishna implies that rushing after material opulence or material happiness not only makes you mad, but also makes you blind. And these two words are used in combination. Madandha. Mada. Surprisingly, mada is M-A-D, mada, same meaning. Mada is mad. And andha, blind because you don't know where you are going, in which direction you are going. Two things happen when you are blind. Number one, you go in the wrong direction, you are running in the wrong direction. That means loss of time, loss of energy. And then if you fall in a ditch because you are blind, injury. So not only you are wasting your time, not only you are wasting your energy, you could also be wasting your health or so-called resources. So it's like a wasteful thing from all points of view. Krishna further says, although you fell from the higher planet Swargaloka and became trees, you were most favored by him. Krishna is corroborating the fact that this curse is not a curse. Actually, you were favored by him. I knew of all his incidents from the very beginning. Obviously, if you ask, who told this to Krishna? Krishna says, I know because Vedaham Samatitani. I am seated in everyone's heart. So that's how Krishna knows. Today I thought we should discuss this point Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Krishna as God is all good. And then comes the point whether a Vaishnava also is all good. So what is good? It's a very relative concept. Someone doesn't have a job, for him a job is good. Someone doesn't have money, so money is good. I remember in my school days, I read somewhere, be good, do good, and the world will be good to you. Heard of it? Many of you, be good, do good, and the world will be good to you. How, I hate to say the word innocent, but how quickly this thing dissipates as we leave school and college and come and face so-called reality outside. And we find, oh, it's horrible. First of all, if you be good, there are people who could just exploit you. Then do good. How do you do good? How do you know what's good for someone? A beggar in the street says, please give me 10 rupees. I want to eat a meal. You might say, I'm not sure whether you'll eat a meal with this 10 rupees. On the road, struck down by a vehicle. I'm sure majority, that means minimum 6 out of 10 hearts would feel, let me do something, let me at least take him to some hospital or some clinic. But then again, in today's times, we may have experiences of how somebody's whole day gone, wasted because some. In short, the consensus, I'm not saying it's an absolute opinion, but the consensus is, in Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to do good. Although you want to be good, although you want to do good. And the third thing is even so remote that the world will be good to you. So what a man supposed to do? Be evil, do evil, and somehow extricate some amount of good from everything? In their heart of hearts, resign themselves to. It's not they accept the philosophy, but they resign. History has seen so many so-called big powerful people, dictators, kings, autocrats, tyrants, who did so much evil to others. And rarely has anyone been brave enough to say that, all right, I did this to everybody, now it's my chance to suffer, let it come. No. Adolf Hitler, one of his henchmen, Heinrich Himmler, he was telling his people that shoot all these children. So they actually would shoot. They would tell people to stand in a ditch. So 10 at a time, they would shoot them, they would fall, again 10 at a time. He saw that and he felt that he could faint. He could not tolerate to see that. Although he didn't stop it, but he didn't have the courage to see what he himself had started. Hitler himself at the end, he said, just one bullet and that's it, right? He didn't have the courage whether that bullet would end his life. So he also had a cyanide capsule, just in case, you know. So he bit the capsule and shot him. At least that's the official version. Nobody saw him doing anything. And nobody saw him alive after that. But the point is, cruel people, absolutely evil people, they also cannot face the kind of treatment they have given others. Contrast that with this particular statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna is all good, full stop, all good, that's it. There is a Latin word called summum bonum, and Prabhupada uses that many times in the Bhagavatam. In fact, the 10th canto, the full canto, is called the summum bonum. Sum is like our mathematics word, addition, subtraction. So sum is total. Bonum, B-O-N-U-M, is good. We have the words bona fide, means in good faith. How is Krishna all good? Oh, I'll finish one more point. So we talked about how to do good, how to be good. I had heard that in some countries, there are so many drug addicts that the government is thinking, instead of making at your home or in your privacy doing something, take from us. You just tell us what your choice is. A government van will go through the streets. There are registered drug users. That means this man has applied to the government that I am a drug addict. I need a specific supply every week. This is my quota. And the government says, all right, you know, at least take this and be silent rather than experimenting with so many things and then causing so many crimes. Are they doing good? They say our intentions are good. These people are hopeless cases. They would take drugs anyway. They would rob, steal people. They tell ordinary citizens, would you like to have the streets be so dangerous that any drug addict can come and kill you for something? He said, no. So the citizens say, you give them whatever they want. Keep them happy wherever they are. Is that happiness for them? Or sometimes we see drunkards, males especially, they torment their wives. You buy for me, otherwise I'll go out and drink anyway. So, to understand what exactly is good is difficult. A step down from this absolute platform, we come to the understanding of Shreyas and Preyas. Preyas is the immediate good, short-term good, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. No, not like that. Depends on your consciousness. For an elevated person, even one lifetime, even 10 lifetimes, even a million lifetimes in this material world is not enough. No, he would say, I want eternal good. Not that for a few million years I am enjoying, and later if I suffer, I don't want that. So especially unenlightened people, people who don't take shastric support, like today's leaders, today's governments, our state of Maharashtra, suddenly last 30, 40 years, I'm just giving a small sample, they thought this is a good area for growing sugar. And you know, the sugar barons are very rich. People who have had simple, small farming plots, suddenly they become very rich. So much of sugar, obviously way beyond what this local population can utilize. So then you export it. After some time, that also reaches a saturation point. And then somebody from the West comes and says, so much of sugarcane production, so much of molasses, better than sugar, better than paper made from sugarcane board or something, produce liquor, it is much more. But then some Punyatma or whatever you can call him, he says, but isn't liquor bad? It's bad, right? So they say, oh, it's not for local consumption, it's only for export. We will not allow a single drop to be sold here. We'll just spoil others' lives, no problem. Obviously, that's what, isn't it? 10 years down the line, they say, as such, people are already drinking here. Why export our liquor to some other place and then bring it back? Plus, it will give so much of employment. All these, so many different institutes of technology. In Maharashtra, there are almost 1,000 or 1,500 colleges. How to absorb all these engineers? Give them employment in these institutes. So, based on Prabhupada's purports, we can understand how one mistaken idea goes on multiplying until finally a government says, I am having an excise department which takes excise duty from alcohol. I am having a MIDC which says more alcohol companies should come up. And I also have a medical team which tells people, please don't drink, it's bad for your health. And all three are demanding budgets, more and more money. So which one to support? The gutka, which is common in India so much, heavily taxed, so much of money coming in. But in all these employees who die from cancer, every employee has to be treated at government expenditure. So they put all the money coming from these things at one side and all the money to be spent on health from other side. And when they find, and we are spending 1 rupee 25 paise. Hey, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. So a person feels that, isn't anybody thinking at all from the very beginning as to whether something is good or bad? That thing doesn't come. Certainly doesn't come in Kali Yuga automatically. So that's what we have. Blind leadership. At the same time, if you just say no, we won't give you this, without any higher taste, that also becomes problematic. So I'm bringing this to this one single point. How do we understand that Narad Muni cursed them and it was for their good, not just good, but all good? You feel a sadhu, what business he has to see some millionaire sons? Like, you know, we sleep here. Every time you hear at 1:45 or 2:30, one big vehicle sound, those gas guzzler cars going at top speed. Do we go out and say, please don't ruin your life, please don't drink and drive? We say, well, in Hindi they say, but they say, you know, this is our life. My father has plenty of money and I want to just enjoy. He encouraged me to enjoy. What's your problem? They could have easily said to Narad Muni, it's our prerogative. This is our loka, this is Swarga Lok. We are the bosses here. In fact, they could be showing a sign. trespassers will be prosecuted. So who's a trespasser? You. Freeloaders like Narad Muni, you have nothing to do, just go everywhere. No. It's a very, very confidential part of a Vaishnava's personality. Why go and curse someone? In the 9th canto, there is a story of Kapila Muni. He's in his own ashram. In his own ashram, he's sitting and performing dhyana. And there is a king called Sagar Maharaj. 60,000 of his sons are searching for a Ashwamedha sacrificial horse. The horse was stolen. So they are searching all over the planet. They come across this ashram. And it is just childish logic. Where is the horse? Here is the horse. Where is the thief? There is someone here, so he must be the thief. You may say, at least make inquiries whether he knows anything about the horse or whether how it came here. So, hop, skip, jump logic. Here is a horse, here is someone. Obviously, he must be the thief. So they try to beat him up. And Kapila Muni, he just looks at them. I mean, he's not Lord Shiva. There's no third eye opening. He is so offended by their behavior, by their uncouth, uncivilized attitude, that by his anger at seeing them, the fire inside all of us, there is fire, aham vashvanaro bhutva praninam deham ashrita, there is fire inside us, that fire becomes disproportionately higher and all of them get burnt to ashes. Just imagine. And Prabhupada and the Acharyas clarify there, he didn't curse them. He didn't say, you get burnt now. No. He just looked at them as if sons of kings and this kind of behavior. And Krishna, who is the control of the fire element, that decided to act and they all got burnt. And a long history after that, so many subsequent generations tried. And the only thing is, if Ganga Devi comes, then only they'll be delivered. So finally, Bhagirath, he successfully brings Ganga and then they are all delivered. One instance of a sadhu getting angry. Why do you and me get angry? Only one reason. Our sense gratification is either threatened, stopped, or destroyed. The sadhu has no sense gratification. Krishna doesn't have any sense gratification in his own heart. So why would they get angry? So here it is described. Their anger is nothing but their mercy. And intelligent people understand that. I have here a small incident from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shivananda Sen is in charge of taking devotees from Bengal to Orissa. Beginning of Rath Yatra, they would go there, stay there for 4 months and come back. One such occasion, Nityananda Prabhu is also accompanying. And it's Yatra, things do happen, prasadam doesn't come on time. Or, you know, ask the Yatra managers, every day it's like a tightrope walk. So Shivananda Sen has to understand what route to take. Sometimes the routes change because of toll people or sometimes natural disturbances. Oh, this river has too much water, so you should take the other river. But there is less water, the boats can't run, so another river. The toll people are especially mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita as very nasty. They would always try to trouble. I mean, charge double for something or... Sometimes the toll people were actually dacoit gangs. They would just do the same thing in uniform, that's it. So one such occasion, Shivananda Sen is busy with the toll people. and there is no proper residence. The whole party is just sitting somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Finally, they find some tree, and beneath that, Nityananda Prabhu is waiting. When will prasadam come? When will the residence come? So he says, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami describes, Nityananda Prabhu bhoke vyakula hoya, Shivananda gali pade vasa na paya. He just starts abusing Shivananda Sen left, right, center. And seeing Nityananda Prabhu's angry mood, normally whenever there's a leader and is angry, by the reverse law of centrifugal thing, sometimes people get attracted by centrifugal force. But especially if the boss is angry, no one likes to be there, because whoever comes there gets some kind of mercy. So Shivananda Sen gets like a volley of abuses. And finally Nityananda Prabhu says, Teen putra maruk shivar ekhanna aila, bhoke mari genu more vasana deva aila. He says, all his three sons, they may die. Now that's a serious thing. Somebody is cursing that your sons may die, and if Nityananda Prabhu says so, it is so. It may happen like that. So somebody tell this to Shivananda's wife. Nityananda Prabhu is cursing like this. He said that all your sons may die. Oh, and she's a poor woman. She just starts shouting, wailing. So Shivananda says, finishes the toll ghati business, comes there. And he says, what happened? And in a very crying mood, she says, Nityananda Prabhu cursed that all our three sons should die. He says, Teho kahe bauli, kene maris kandiya, maruk amar tin putra tar balai laya. He said, let our sons die. Do you imagine the kind of inconvenience we have caused Nityananda Prabhu? So Shivananda Sen, from his own point of view, is not the scenario where his sons are dead. He said, oh, inadvertently I have caused so much of inconvenience to Nityananda Prabhu. His demeanor at least satisfies his wife. Then he goes to meet Nityananda Prabhu and says, there is a cowherd's home, some sort of temporary residence, please accept that. So Nityananda Prabhu goes there, at least there is some shed where he can sit peacefully. And as Nityananda Prabhu sees Shivananda Sen coming and falling at his feet, he gives him a solid kick. First a curse, you say sorry, although it's not your fault, you go and offer obeisances. Normally you might expect a rasgulla or all these videos we see of Prabhupada offering a rose, offering some sweet, and we think, you know, that's the sum and substance of spiritual life. You go to Guru and he just gives you benediction after benediction. Here he's offering his pranam and a solid kick he gets as reward. And Shivananda says, my Lord, by cursing me and by kicking me, I know for certain you have accepted me as your servant. You would never do this to any third party. I have pride now that you have been accepting, you have accepted me as your servant. Brahma cannot get the dust of your lotus feet, which is now decorating my body. Today, he says, today my janma, kula, karma, my birth, my family life, all my fruitive activities, the religious activities, rituals, which anything which I have done, my Krishna bhakti, everything has reached its peak. Now, this is Shivananda Sen's attitude, that this is his mercy. Nityananda Prabhu is very happy seeing his demeanor. He smiles and embraces him. And when you get embraced by Nityananda Prabhu, where is the question of any evil or any bad, inauspicious thing happening in your life? But Chaitanya Charitamrita is very clear. Two nephews of Shivananda Sen, they don't like this. And my uncle is the main sponsor for the whole yatra, and who is this Gosai coming and just kicking him? Eh? Like sometimes the main sponsor is not having so much pride as his relatives who are hovering around. they have much more sort of a air of superiority than the one who's actually doing it. So Shrikanta Sen, he says, I can't tolerate this. He leaves the party, goes ahead. Why goes ahead? He wants to complain to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That look at the behavior of Nityan Prabhu, you know how he does this. So as he goes to meet Chaitanya, he really goes fast, reaches Jagannath Puri, finds Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as is customary, offers obeisances. So devotees tell him, hey, remove your uttariya, remove your kurta. That's a proper attitude. Normally in North India, we don't find this stress so much, but in South India, many temples, they say, remove your kurta. Males should not have any cloth on the upper part of their body. That's a sign of humility. So, Shrikanta Sen still doesn't do it. And Mahaprabhu says, let him be. He is mentally distressed. At that moment, Shrikanta Sen understands, Mahaprabhu is omniscient. He knows what has happened. He knows what has happened with me. So there is not much of an explanation, but the fact is, someone like Shrikanta Sen got confused upon seeing Nityananda Prabhu's behavior, and he is an eternal associate of the Lord. So, you and me reading Narada Muni's behavior and saying, I really can't understand why he cursed them. Sure, it's very confusing, but we should look at the net result. These two young demigods, demigods are always young, they never grow old. Normally, they take birth young, 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 and die. We take birth and then grow old and really old and disease and then die. It doesn't happen to them. So what was the chance of them becoming pure devotees? No chance practically. But by Narad Muni's curse, they actually became pure devotees. So daya is mercy. Being good is to do daya, perform daya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's daya is called Amando Daya Daya. It's a technical point. I'll just finish with this point. Manda means bad. Manda Udaya means daya which gives rise to something bad. All these examples, start a liquor factory so that people could get employment. Give drugs to drug addicts so at least they won't do anything on their own. You don't stop for a moment whether what is the end of it? Is it for the ultimate good? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants, they are capable of doing, performing works which are Amando Daya Daya. Daya, which Uday means to rise, like the sun rises, Suryodaya. So Daya Uday. They are capable of doing that Daya which does not give rise to any evil of any form whatsoever. Not even a fraction of evil is to be found with the daya of Lord Chaitanya and his followers. So there is a nice verse composed by Srila Sarup Damodar Goswami. It has this word daya in so many ways. It's a nice poetic way of giving it. He lo dhunita khe daya, vishadaya, pron milad amo daya, samyak shastra vivadaya, rasadaya, chittar piton ma daya, Shashwad Bhakti Vinodaya Sadaya Madhurya Maryadaya Shri Chaitanya Daya Nidhe Tavadaya Bhuyadamandodaya. Three parts are analyzed by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. He says, let there be awakening of this auspicious mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hela Uddhunita. Let this Daya rise. And the only way this daya rises, as we find in the chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, when devotees come together and chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What happens when you have this kind of sankirtan? He says, Uddhunita Khedaya Vishadaya. It purifies everything. Let there be the awakening of this mercy. Your mercy drives away material lamentation. Vishadaya. Then, Samyak Shastra Vivadaya, all the quarrels of various scriptures. Sometimes people read Prabhupada's books, like yesterday we were discussing about contradictions. Krishna walks, he doesn't walk. He's far, he's very near. He's inside, he's outside as well. You may say, just tell me one thing about him. The fact is, Krishna is all of these and some more. The last 300-400 years, the West has not seen someone like a philosopher. Most of them are just having reactions to previous problems. There were a few philosophers, like I was reading about this Summum Bonum. Augustine was one, a scholar and a philosopher. So he said, there is nothing like absolute evil. As remote becomes absolute truth, there you find evil. The more you go far away from absolute truth, there you enter the realm of evil. It resonates with our idea. Maya is evil. We agree with that. Very evil. But where is Maya? Krishna Surya Sama, Maya hoy Andhakar. Andhakar cannot be seen in Surya. Jahan Krishna taha nahi Maya Radhikar. So Shastra, so many Shastras, so many viewpoints, but they say Lord Chaitanya's Daya, Chaitanya's mercy harmonizes everything. Those who are students of chemistry, they understand that there are some chemicals, they're very volatile. If two or three mix together, they become very volatile. Like explosions are caused when these kind of things mix together. So sometimes Shastric points, they also oppose each other. But in that flask, if you add Lord Chaitanya's mercy, they all become silent. Yes, this statement is true for Lord Chaitanya. This statement is also true for Lord Chaitanya. This is also true. That is also true. Whether Chaitanya is an enjoyer, yes, he is Krishna. But his mood is of a devotee. So he's not an enjoyer in this Chaitanya Leela. So therefore, Saurabh Damodar Goswami prays, Samyak Shastra Vivadaya. All kinds of scriptural arguments, they become harmonized. Rasadaya Chittar Piton Madaya. The heart chitta becomes jubilant by getting Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Shashwat Bhakti Vinodaya Samadaya Madhurya Maryadaya. That your mercy gives the limit of devotion, Madhurya Maryadaya. And then he prays, Shri Chaitanya Daya Nidhe Tava Daya. Your mercy is actually Bhuyad Amando Daya. Daya which never results in bad for anyone. And this is how we can understand. If Krishna is so powerful, this doesn't mean that you and me start taking roles as Vaishnavas and start cursing each other. This has to be at the level of someone like Narada Muni. If you think for a moment that his curse is all good, so if he benedicts, what could that be? In one sense, both are same. Just depending upon the receiving capacity of a particular person, sometimes there is a benediction, sometimes it's a curse. But the result of both is the same. Total deliverance from the material entanglement. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki.
Itai Gaur Premanandi.